Hey coaches, you are listening to the 323 Sports Podcast, where you can keep up with breaking news in the team sports industry, enjoy fun interviews with coaches, and gain insight on how to build your athletic program. On this episode, we get into part four of our What Do You Do series, as it involves interviewing athletic directors and coaches about how they operate their program. Our interviewee will be Ken Blocker, the head football coach at Enloe High School in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here is what he had to say about budgeting and fundraising as a coach. We got Ken Blocker from Enloe High School, head football coach there at the school, which is located in Raleigh, North Carolina. So thank you, Ken, for taking the time out of your
own day to come on the show today. That's sweet. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So as far as I know, we know that Brock Kavanaugh is your sales rep.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
So he's been taking care of you, right?
Absolutely. Awesome. Every way, too. Quickly, as well.
Has he ever offered some Starbucks for you?
No. But you know what? I'm not a big coffee guy. So, okay. Yeah, for me, it's more so like, I need just some OJ. I'll be cool with that.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, so Brock's been handling you guys, and you guys are actually a brand new account for us. Mm-hmm. So I think your first order you place is late 2018, I think. What was that order? Do you remember?
So I think we did T-shirts, and we also did some stuff for our staff.
Okay.
Some hoodies.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, perfect. Everything starts with something, right?
Yes, so absolutely.
We're hoping that Brock can definitely take care of you, and we can trust him too, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So, Ken, you are the head football coach at Enloe High School, like I said. And this episode is about budgeting and fundraising.
Cool.
But before we get into that, can you give us a little bit more of a background on yourself? So kind of where you grew up,
okay.
What sports you played, the college you went
to. So I played football. Well, I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So I'm here by way of Pittsburgh. Football. Everybody knows that football's that was actually my idol. So
yeah.
I know your podcasters can't really see me, but I used to be a running back a long, long time ago. I look like a lineman now.
That's awesome.
But so I played at Dan Marino's alma mater, Central Catholic. So it's a rich tradition as far as football and all that stuff goes, and so like the way basketball is in North Carolina, that's the way it is for football.
Wow.
But then I came down to Winston-Salem State University for an opportunity to play football. And my logic at that time was pretty ridiculous because Yancey Thigpen and Richard Huntley were two Steelers. So I'm like, I want to play for the Steelers. So maybe I should go to a school that the Steelers pulled two guys from. And that was ridiculous. And
wow.
I ended up back at home. And I went to a small school called Duquesne University, which is like right down the street from Pitt.
So, awesome. That's great.
I ended up coaching. My coaching career is kind of crazy because my mother was the reason that I started coaching football. She wanted to play football. So in Pittsburgh, we have a female team called the Pittsburgh Passion. And that was my introduction into coaching because I'm like, well, I want to coach my mom because this is the first time. Like, she's watched myself and my brother for years.
Yeah.
But who's coaching women's football?
Yeah.
So it just so happened that the owner had some open spaces, and she let me coach, and that was my introduction into coaching football.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And then I left from that, went to youth, and I've had a heck of a ride from there. So I went from youth football to working with Football University to working with Nike as a Sparks Combine guy. Actually, I have pictures where I worked with Todd Gurley when he was in high school at Duke at the Nike Sparks Combine.
That's awesome.
I did U.S. Army All-American Bowl game. I was the regional director for that. I also did, NFL. They had the High School Player Development Program. I got a chance to be the regional director for that as well.
Dang.
So as I was doing all that, I went from youth coach to JV coach to varsity coach, head coach, coordinator. And then I moved down here and I got an opportunity to coach at Shaw University.
Yeah, Shaw.
I was running back coach at Shaw for 2 years. Then an opportunity came up at Enloe, and I ended up at Enloe High School with my own program.
Wow.
So
that's awesome.
I've done the gambit when it comes down to coaching.
Yeah. When did you get? When did you start at Enloe? What year? Do you remember?
So I think I was an assistant there volunteering in 2016-17 season.
Okay.
And then Coach Green got a job at Green Hope High School And then that opened up the opportunity to get the head coaching job there.
That's super sweet.
Yeah.
That's an awesome career.
It's a ride. So yeah, it's been a ride. That's awesome. So I've seen a little bit of all of it, from the recruiting side to the business side, as far as, you know, running camps and combines and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Keith, did you ever play football as a kid?
I did not. I did not play football. My claim to fame on football, well, I was pretty good in flag football a few times.
Oh, yeah. Trust me.
But my high school didn't have a football program.
Really?
But my claim to fame was that the head coach at a school right next to where I live, I didn't go to that school, was really trying to get me to come play quarterback. There was word, I'm a lefty, there was word, he was comparing me to Steve Young. Mm. And I twinkle toes a little bit. but no, I never did. I was too busy doing all those other sports, and I don't know. For some reason, I didn't jump into football. But
That's a sport I've always wanted to play. I just never had the opportunity.
Really?
Because I went to a really small private school up in Michigan, and they didn't have the money. I mean, mm-hmm. it was a really small school. And so I've always had that just desire to be like, oh, man, I wonder what it'd be like just to play football.
It's intense.
So flag football is the closest that we've ever been.
Right.
But I always think of myself as like a cornerback.
Okay.
Just because I feel like I'm pretty quick.
I can see
I'm not very tall, but you usually see guys at 6 foot. I mean, they could be receivers sometimes.
Yes.
I mean, Steve Smith, for one example, he was like, what, 5'9", 5'10"?
Yep.
As a wide receiver in the NFL.
Heinz Ward, I don't think, was over 6 foot either.
Yeah, Heinz Ward as well.
Yep.
So I always think of myself as a wide receiver or a cornerback. Mm-hmm. I always have that picture in my mind.
That's all right.
But I stuck to soccer, and that was kind of my sport. And soccer's pretty big here in Raleigh, too.
So you got good footwork then.
I would say so. But, yeah, that's kind of about me. But that's super cool, man. Your career, it sounds awesome. It sounds like a great ride.
It's been fun. I've got an opportunity to work with a lot of guys. So this draft coming up, there's a player that I coached my first year of Pop Warner.
Nice.
Who Miles Saunders, who's the running back who took over for Saquon Barkley at Penn State.
Oh, nice.
So Miles is in the draft this year.
Great.
And he's projected to be the number one or number two running back taken in the draft this year. So I've got a chance to get with his mom on social media and just congratulate her. And I got my pictures when he was just a little squirt. So, it's pretty cool. Then I have some players. I have Trayvon Hester, who plays at the Philadelphia Eagles. So now seeing these guys grow up and play in the NFL is pretty cool. And even just getting the opportunity to go to college. I got a lot of guys have gone to college, and some have decided to stick with it, some haven't. But just seeing them grow we all kind of grew together. So now it's kind of like everybody's just looking back and kind of smiling. Matter of fact, my mentor, the guy who gave me my first varsity football coaching job, is the assistant head coach at Penn State. His name is Terry Smith. So he's like my mentor. I follow his blueprint. It was successful.
That's super cool.
So I got to ask. I want to jump in, Travis.
Go ahead.
I got to ask. What's your take on the Steelers, man? What's going on?
So, I'm hurt. I'm not going to lie. I'm hurt. But anybody that knows the Steelers know that the games where it comes down to a whole bunch of social media, a whole bunch of attention, is just not going to work. Like, so any of our guys that we consider like legends and all that stuff, they really didn't have that. Heinz Ward didn't have that. Troy Polamalu.
Love that guy.
Everybody loves Troy still. Yeah. Like he's still in Pittsburgh. And the funny part is, I have a story about him. Seen him in Costco's, and he was kind of like, because when I noticed, like, you know, you do that double take, like, is that Troy? Like he just had his hoodie on, and he's chilling, he didn't want a big deal being made, so I couldn't get an autograph. But I just.
They got a lot of talent.
They got a ton of talent. They do. So like,
Le'Veon's back, right?
Yeah, no.
He's not?
No, he's at the Jets.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, so he's gone.
I
so
been following that.
We lost Le'Veon and Brown, and I think, that's going to be a hurt piece, you know? But James Conner, which, you know, he went to Pitt, and he's a hometown guy for us because going to Pitt and now playing for the Steelers, I think he's going to do well.
Yeah.
He's not Bell. But the game of football's kind of changed. We're running backs, unfortunately, you know, you're second fiddle now. Everybody's four receivers, five receivers out there now.
It's crazy.
But
touch a little bit. I know you touched a little bit about what it's like to be a football coach, and to see kids grow.
Yes.
And you kind of grow together as a mentor and as a player.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit more about, like, what's it like to be a football coach? Like, what are some of the rewards of being a coach, you know?
So, like, when I first got into coaching after my mom, like, so dealing with the young guys and all that, everybody's like, oh, you're going to be a mentor, you're going to be this. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm just going to be a football coach. Like, you, I had no idea the impact that we have as coaches, as being mentors, being father figures, being community leaders. Had no idea. And as you grow into the position, you realize that actually coaching is probably the least that you do. You do more of the psychological side of just making sure players are mentally okay, and the business side of making sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, because on every level, it's a financial thing, you know, from Pop Warner up. You got to make sure money is working for you so that you're successful, you know, because, I mean, equipment is expensive, things like that. You guys know as far as even jerseys and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's a tough thing to do, but the reward is seeing young men and women, because I have women on my football team as well. Yeah. So seeing young men and women buy into a communal team idea where it's – there's a bigger goal than yourself, which then translates to them being, you know, better people and some character development.
Right. That's that's something that every coach, I think, desires.
Yes.
To mentor some kids as they grow up and be good citizens and have that character and discipline to in the workplace as they leave the program.
Absolutely. You know? I get so proud when I see my guys on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever in their professions, or I love when I see my guys in the military. Like, I love that. Like, so I have some guys that are in the Marines and, you know, in Air Force and all that. So I just see the gambit of it, but to see them, and then especially when they give you a shout out with the thanks coach block, all that, you know, that that really makes you feel good. And it when you see them in the community being, you know, assets, it's a huge piece.
Yeah. And you touched a little bit about the cost of equipment and apparel.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout your, you know, coaching career, every coach does that. But this podcast is mainly about how to budget and fundraise.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit more of your insight on how to budget correctly.
Okay.
Maybe for, you know, your football program specifically.
Absolutely.
Like, there's a ton of gear.
Yes.
I think football is like probably number one or two sport, Keith, that
has
the most equipment.
Yep. Yeah.
That and track, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What about hockey?
Or hockey.
I was about to say, because hockey's expensive.
Yes.
Hockey's more expensive than we are as football. Like, it's expensive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what I noticed is, and what it's kind of hard to get some people to understand is how, you know, just as far as just the look, how important that is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, like, what I tell parents sometimes when we start talking about budgeting, because if your parents aren't a part of it, then you're going to fail. That's just the biggest part. So you got to get your parents on board to understand how important the things that are outside of what maybe the school or the association's responsibilities are, as far as, like, the hardcore equipment, like shoulder pads, helmets, shoes, things like that.
Yeah.
But when it gets into, like, the gear, the swag, man, like, so if you ever want to know how important it is, play a young athlete in any sport from FIFA to Madden to 2K and see how long it takes them to pick their jerseys. And you tell me that it's not important.
Yeah,
you know, so when you do that, you have
to struggle with that.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So they sell it. So, for example, like, the you buy Madden, you get base gear.
Yeah.
And then the way they keep you paying for it is keep selling you old throwback jerseys, and kids pay for it. So it's important. But then it's also money. You know what I mean? So it's a big part, and you got to kind of factor that in. So, like, for us, what we're trying to factor in right now and what we're working with Brock about is just 7-on-7 gear.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's not really in the school's budget, because it hasn't gotten to the point where schools budget in swag.
Yeah.
So then now you have to talk to parents and figure out what their ideas are and kind of get them to understand that it also plays into the esteem of the players. If they're not looking good out there and you see a team that has a lot of money in the program and they can buy these things left and right, then it plays a part, because now they feel automatically that the other team is – better just because of how they look.
Right.
Yeah.
Professional look goes a long way.
Huge. Like, so,
you know,
Like, for example, our first year coaching, like, I kept saying, we got to get new jerseys. And the reason why is because the kids literally felt like the jerseys were cursed. Like, really? They were like, nobody's ever been good. We were 0-11 in these jerseys. We don't want to wear them. Yeah. So when I told my AD that, he's like, we don't have it in the budget. So I'm thinking he's just being a jerk.
Yeah, yeah.
But we didn't. Because then I had to figure out how much it's going to cost to suit each kid, top and bottom. And a lot of people don't understand, like, finding a good apparel company that's affordable is tough because they know we need the gear. So they can bump it up however they want, you know what I mean? So it's tough.
What are some examples maybe? So, like, you had that problem. And as a coach, you do a lot of problem solving too. Mm-hmm. And with budgeting is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be your next step? So, like, okay, hey, the AD says we don't have it in our budget, but would you be able to do something on the side, like fundraise with your kids? Like,
yes.
Do car washes, or what are some ideas that maybe you can come up with?
So here's to, like, so that's kind of what we're going through right now, because we are, our athletic department is starting to turn around, but we haven't always had it in the bank to where we could just make that happen. So we got to get creative on how we're getting money in. So the first thing I thought was, oh, we'll just ask the community, because that's the number one thing, right? Ask the community. But we're not truly a community-based school. Enloe has 2,700 students in it that come from all over the county. We're the largest school in the county. Oh, wow. So whereas we might have a school in comparison, like maybe a Sanderson or a Wakefield, that's a community school, Wake Forest, community school. All the kids grow up together, go through that school together. So we had to figure out and try to think of ways outside of the box. To really get that money in and get parents bought in, because, you know, we were thinking, okay, well, we'll sell the, what's those, like $20 discount cards.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't work for us. And the reason why is because most of our kids leave downtown Raleigh and go to Fuquay. So now those discount cards are only good for the stores that they set it up in downtown Raleigh. So nobody wants it. So you got to think of ways outside the box, which, like Snap Raise, what worked well for us. We were able to get like $4,000 from Snap Raise.
Is that an app you guys? Is it an app?
So it's basically like GoFundMe, but somebody else runs it for you. So it's like a high school fundraiser where all the kids have to do is just get the emails to people, family members, whatever, and then they shoot the email out. Hey, this is Enloe. We do a video. Hey, this is Enloe. You know, please support us, da-da-da-da.
Interesting.
And they shoot it out there, you know what I mean? So we got $4,000 from that, you know
what
I mean?
That's
so
awesome.
There's different ways, whereas back at home in Pittsburgh, each little community, you don't have to worry about fundraising, because mom and dad may own a business. They got a buddy, and then now you got a network of people, gears. Everybody wants it because everybody in the community is wearing it.
Yeah.
Also, ticket sales plays a huge part. Oh, so then now, you know, the one school I coached at, Gateway High School, Friday night, stores are shutting down. So everybody's at the stadium, so you're making revenue from that. So those are different avenues that you kind of got to think about. But the first thing you have to do, I always joke, I call it the parent partnership. Our first partners are parents.
Yeah.
So we got to use the resources that we get from them.
Yeah. And what was the name of that fundraising place to use? Snap Phase?
Snap Raise.
Okay, I just want to make sure the listeners know, like, if they're looking for ideas.
Oh, absolutely. I would definitely say Snap Raise was awesome. So here's how simple it is. They showed up at the school, and they give you, if you don't have your own script, they give you a script, kids read it, and they record it, and next thing you know, they just take that email, link it up to an account that the coaches can just manage and see who's really getting those emails out. So they may ask a kid, get 5 emails.
Yeah.
They send it out. They'll let you know if the person's opened the email or not. And then if they haven't, then they'll say, you know, just get us a few more emails. So now it takes something that may be local to a national. You can get grandma in California.
That's awesome.
To send you a couple bucks.
Yeah. I think that's a big difference between, like, community. You have that community schools that have to reach out to the actual community business people. But with this, it's more of a national reach.
Yep, absolutely.
So technically, you could raise more money.
You can raise more money and faster. So, like, they do campaigns that may last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And I'm thinking, man, this isn't going to work. But we raised $4,000 in 3 weeks.
That's awesome.
And that's just because it was outside of our normal channel of people.
Yep. Snap Raise, guys.
Snap
Remember
raise.
That.
Yep.
We'll probably post a link on it on our when we post this podcast episode so you guys can check it out for sure. So that's really good, Ken.
Yep.
Keith, do you have anything to mention about fundraising? Like, did your school ever do anything that maybe car washes?
I mean, We did several things. The thing I would mention about fundraising, people forget how important is how that apparel looks, mm-hmm. is how important it is. And I know it's easier for us coming from a sporting goods company to talk about that.
Yeah.
But if you look in, I've heard some people say, oh, it don't matter what the kids wear. Man, just get out there. When I was, man, back yeah, in my day, I wore a T-shirt. And I get that. And I get that. And I listen, I did the same thing. But if you look at every institution around, everybody looks good.
Yep.
The best ones. If you're a corporate institution, you want your sales guys to look good going wherever they get.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere you go, you want your people to look good if they're representing a business, if you're representing whoever, you're representing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with these kids and athletes. They want to look good. They want to feel good. And let's just face it. They're looking at the athletes on TV. They're looking at whatever. And so, you know, it is important. It is an important part of it. Of how they look. And so, you know, I'm a firm believer in it. And that, obviously that's convenient for me to say, but whether I was in the business or not, I'm a firm believer of it. And so I think it's very important, to do that. So.
Absolutely. And when you mentioned something where you said the kids see it on TV, that's the biggest part. So like we fight the fact that the kids want to look like what's being produced week in and week out on TV. And, I mean, it's a curse. Like, Oregon kills the game.
Oh, my goodness.
Because every time they come on the field, it's something different. The kids are like, oh, ah. So then now what ends up happening is if you're a school that can provide that, kids want to go to that school. Yeah. And it doesn't make a difference. You'd be surprised. So, like, today I had NC State show up for recruiting. You'd be surprised that kids will refuse to go to a school because, oh, I don't like Adidas gear. Or I don't like Nike gear. Or I like these shoes. I like this swag. We're talking about your education, and you're basing it upon the logo. You know what I mean? But it plays a huge part.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's super important. I mean.
Well, they're aspiring to be the best. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, subconsciously or not, they're looking at those guys going, they're the best, and I want to be like them.
Yes, sir.
So it is probably more subconscious than anything, but that plays a big part.
Yep.
I definitely agree. And so what do you think, Ken, would be one thing a coach should focus on the most when he's trying to budget or fundraise something? What maybe is one thing they should be like, all right, is it the parent relationship
mm-hmm.
or is it more about getting involved in the community? Where should the coach first start out and focus
so
his mind on?
What I tried to do was focus first on what the school's resources were.
Mm-hmm.
And then after my school resources was the player's safety. And so when we talk about player safety, then that people will spend money to make sure these players are safe.
Hmm.
So when we get into helmets and shoulder pads and all that stuff, money is found some way, somehow.
Miraculously.
Yeah, when we start talking about, we got five helmets that got to go because these aren't safe for our children's head. You'll have parents that will buy their own kid's helmet, and all of a sudden, that's $500. Yep. So you start seeing things like that. So that's the first thing is the safety. Then after safety is, okay, what's our turnaround on when we're going to need a different product? So, like, we've been wearing, like, a standard black pant. And that's because black pants pretty much go with anything. Yeah. And they're easier for me to clean after Friday night games.
that's true.
So, you know, we start looking into the longevity of things and what we need to get rid of and what can last us 2-3 years. So we might spend a little bit more on a pant that we know will get us through 3 years.
Yeah.
So then now we have a little bit more wiggle room to do stuff with the jerseys. Then we may look into, okay, how big of a deal is the jersey to the school versus the student? Meaning, hey, mom, hey, dad, this is the jersey we want. And guess what? It's your jersey if you kick in half. You know what I mean? So then now we can take half of that money we were going to spend on the jersey and put it towards something that the kids may need, like, you know, mouthpieces and footballs and all that stuff. So You got to play with the numbers a little bit to find out, like, what is it that our needs are and how are we as a school going to make sure the guys are safe
mm-hmm.
versus the fashion part and what the kids want and the stuff that really isn't about their safety. Like, jerseys, people, believe it or not, are kind of important when it comes down to what tears and what gives away. Yeah. Because now if a guy is grabbing me and next thing you know, that jersey gives away and that extra little boost that I wasn't expecting, I'm running head first into something maybe with my head down. Mm-hmm. Whereas if that jersey is a little bit more durable, I can get that extra yard or two without having to worry about it rip, snap, and I can keep my head up. So jerseys and things like that are also important when we're talking about safety. And I know people don't think so. They're like, oh, that's just a joke. Like you said, put a T-shirt on and play. But, you know, just having that tight fit is comfortable for players. It plays into the psyche. When your jerseys fit loose, you play a little different. Yeah. So, you know, those are different things that I think that you should start looking into as far as a budget. Then when you say, okay, is that a communal thing or is that a local thing? It's, I hate to say it this way, but it's about where we can get this money. Mm-hmm. Because you're on the clock. So, like, right now, if you don't start planning for August, if you're planning for August now, it's too late. Anything that you get now is probably just the extra stuff that – 7-on-7 and all that stuff. Because as soon as the season's over, we're doing inventory.
Yeah.
These jerseys got to go back. This is who, because we're talking about one sport. And so like an AD, he got to worry about soccer, lacrosse, swimming, da-da-da-da. So just it's on and on. Right. So, you know, the number one thing, though, is, you know, making sure the player safety is first. Because no matter if it's communal or if it's something national – it's easy for me to go to a store and say, hey, we're looking to get new helmets. You know, we got 10 helmets that got to be reconditioned and the safety of our players is a concern. Yeah. Most businesses aren't going to be like, get out of my face. You know, they may help you out because they realize it's a need.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's super good that you mentioned player safety because then coaches who are listening can then realize like, oh, man, I need to get X amount of helmets reconditioned or I probably need to update my jersey in some way.
Yeah.
So that's really good to reverse engineer almost to think about, okay, what's the player safety like? Mm-hmm. And then let's see if we can fit in the budget.
It's easier to tell the parents that. So like if parents are saying, well, where's the money going? To your kid's safety. So where I'm asking you to help us out with a jersey that may be $100 and something bucks, I'm spending $500, $600 on his helmet to make sure we're not talking about concussions down the road. Mm-hmm. So that's why I always say it's a parent partnership. Because then now parents will be like, that makes sense. So let's figure this out together.
Yeah. As we wrap things up here, Ken, really appreciate all the insight you've given us.
No problem.
We know that you kind of coordinated a special event at Enloe High School. Mm-hmm. And I believe PJ Tucker went to Enloe.
Yep.
And he had some type of event. Can you explain what was that like?
Yes. So PJ Tucker so, you know, NBA, everything they do is runway model type stuff when they come into the stadiums and everybody wants to make sure they're keeping things going. So James Harden got his jersey retired at his high school. Wow. And PJ Tucker was like, hey, I want my jersey retired at my high school. So we got a chance to link up with him and we created Knights of Legends. So me not being from Enloe or the Raleigh area originally, I didn't know how rich of a basketball tradition actually Enloe has. So Chris Wilcox went there. Nate McMillan, who coaches for the Indiana Pacers, was there. Wow. PJ Tucker is there. Then we had another guy named Danny Young, who played for the Seattle Supersonics. So the list goes on and on.
Yeah.
So once I said, yeah, we're going to retire PJ Tucker's jersey, I thought that was like a great idea because I'm thinking, one, man, they lit me up on the social media. They're like, it's not just PJ. So next thing you know, we had Nate McMillan. And then we also had Lavelle Moulton, who's the head coach of North Carolina Central, who is one of the most decorated coaches they've had. So it was a great night. We got an opportunity to just pull those three guys. It was our inaugural, so now I know I'll be doing it again. It was just a great night. We sold out the gym. We did it on the senior night as well. PJ Tucker and those guys were awesome. They took time to sign autographs. They did everything for the media and they got our students the exclusive interviews and all that stuff like that. So it was great. We got a chance to see PJ Tucker's swag with his shoes because if the listeners don't know, he's the certified number one sneakerhead in the nation.
Really?
Yes. So he's I think Sneaker News or something like that ranked him number one. He just got
PJ
done.
PJ Tucker.
Wow. He just got done buying like a $36,000 pair of shoes.
And
so they create him at, like, so if you Google him, I think the video pops up. where he talks about the shoes he just bought that were like $36,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because Harden's up there too.
Yeah. So they compete. So like if you follow P.J. Tucker or Harden, you'll see them side by side in the locker room. They can't even fit clothes inside their locker because it's filled with shoes. He'll change shoes at halftime.
I have to ask though, did you guys make any type of money off that event?
So what we did from ticket sales. What we didn't know was like the NBA and all that gives money back for things like that if we would have made it like a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We did not know that. So we missed an opportunity for the first round, but those guys all gave us our word they're coming back. So yes, we will be. So like Nate McMillan said, as soon as the playoffs were done, he'd be back, which he's the head coach of the Indiana Pacers. While I was rooting for him to win, when I seen him lose, I'm like, yes, so that should be about 3 weeks. We'll be talking to him soon. Yeah. And, you know, P.J. Tucker and Harden and Chris Paul, and those guys are still going. So that's also great for us. But they both are looking to run AAU. Here out of Enloe, and also do their book bag giveaway every year. They do. They were doing it at the Teen Center downtown Raleigh, but now they're going to look to do that out of Enloe, which is awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. So if you guys, any coaches out there who have maybe NBA players who are playing right now or currently or anywhere professional leagues, football, even soccer, whatever.
Yes.
You know, reach out to those guys and be like, hey, can we do some type of event that maybe that league can then. Act as like a fundraiser for your school.
And NFL does too. So when I was the regional director for the high school player development program, my friend Darnell Dinkins got a chance to play with the Saints the year they won the Super Bowl.
Wow.
So those guys get community money. So like to go back to the community, go back to the high school, there's money allotted for those players. It may be, I don't know what it may be. It may be dictated upon that area, how much, you know what I mean? But there's money there to where if you recognize those guys or bring them back to the school that you can use that as a huge fundraiser.
Yeah. I think that's smart because I think a lot of people, and I would probably put myself in this category, if you didn't have the knowledge, you'd probably just reach out to these guys and be like, hey, stroke me a check.
Yeah.
Stroke me a check. You know, and these professional athletes, they don't always want to just stroke everybody a check.
Absolutely.
But they would come back to an event that they could springboard from that event and make it a fundraiser. Whereas they're not just handing money out.
Right.
And so I think that's really smart and should be taken advantage of more.
Yep.
I agree. So, guys, if you're a coach right now that knows you have some type of professional athlete right now, just reach out to them and see what type of event you guys can create. And maybe you can talk to Coach Ken here at Enloe High School.
Yep.
He might talk to you about it.
My social media handles are all simple. It's at CoachKenBlocker@gmail.com. You can email me. Facebook is CoachKenBlocker. Twitter is Coach Ken Blocker. And I think Instagram is just Ken Blocker. But
that's perfect. It's easy to remember.
Everything. Yeah.
So hit him up on social media, guys. He's available for you. If you reach out to him, I'm sure he'll hit you back.
Sure will.
I like that. Well, Ken, we appreciate you being here today, man.
Thank you for
having
me.
All your insight.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely.
We really do appreciate everything you've done. And hopefully, Brock can take care of you whatever type of needs down the road.
So I actually want to say that. I didn't get a chance to plug you guys, and I want to thank y'all because our Knights of Legend t-shirts that we made for that night, we did make money off of those, and they were made by 323 Sports.
Well,
and we got those done within like a week. So
there you go.
They were awesome. Parents loved them. And, I mean, if there's a way that we can, I'll send you pictures of people in them, and you can post them.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Okay.
Cool, man. Thank you.
Thank you again, Ken.
No problem.
Really appreciate your time today.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening, guys.
All right.
Peace.
And with that concludes our episode for this month. Thanks for listening. If you want to find out more about who we are and what we do, check out our website at 323sports.com. Also, guys, be sure to check out our social media platforms such as Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. We post daily stories on Instagram, so make sure you have fun and engage with us. As always, don't forget to do it right.